He goes mad for those ads. He's got a Trailer Jones.
Hey everyone, Brandon Jones here, and I'm all by myself, sitting at my desk, watching this Star Wars trailer over and over again. That's right, all the other allies are on media blackout that I wanted to talk to about Star Wars, and so I am going to talk about Star Wars by myself. We just got the new trailer for Rise of the Skywalker, Episode 9, that we are getting before the end of 2019. Before the end of 2019... the Star Wars, you know, numerical series will be over and we'll have to start over with something else, whatever Disney's going to be doing in the future. I am just so emotional about this trailer. There's lots of stuff I want to talk about. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so if you're just, you know, checking this video out, I'm definitely going to come from a fan perspective. But I specifically want to talk about the structure of how this trailer's made. You know, I'm not going to be dropping crazy lore. I'm not going to be pointing out, you know, that you know, there's what ships are in it. I saw somebody point out that the chair that you see when you hear the Emperor is based on the original art that they did for Return of the Jedi. All of that's great. But I'm fascinated about what this trailer's trying to do, how this trailer's constructed, and what this trailer is telling us at this point, just 2 months before this movie comes out in theaters. I think this trailer is tremendously spoilery. If you haven't seen this trailer yet, don't if you don't want spoilers. I think this trailer actually shows too much. I think that's one of the things why it, you know, might not be my favorite Episode 9 trailer. We've only got a handful, and probably isn't my favorite trailer of this trilogy specifically. Starting off, one thing that you know really stands out for me is we hear lots of voices in this trailer, but definitely the three specific voices of Rey and Finn and Poe, and identifying them obviously as you know our three protagonists, and it's interesting to kind of check in with them about where they are, and they all seem kind of lost, like they seem kind of like they're you know singing their old songs, like Rey is still you know doesn't believe that is struggling to find a sense of self. Poe is, you know, struggling to be the leader that he wants to be, and Finn feels some kind of calling that he's felt ever since, quote-unquote, the Force Awakened in Episode 7, and I think, you know, especially after being one of the people in the camp that Finn didn't do a whole lot of important things in Episode 8, I'm looking forward to, and I'm definitely curious about what they're going to do with his character in this one. And so I think it's smart in this last trailer to focus on the three of them, have them be the first three voices that we hear. The other voice we hear is the Emperor, and man, I'm telling you as a fan, that is carrying me. It's my favorite and least favorite thing about this trailer. It's carrying me in such a way that just absolutely strikes at the core of being interested in anything. The fact that, like, yes, it is extremely cheesy that he's coming back. Yes, J.J. Abrams is taking over this, you know, this trilogy. And the moment I heard that, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to be braced for a lot of fan service. I think it's a little silly that we see Death Star 2 again, like that it wasn't completely, you know, obliterated, that there's actually like shards of it, that actually the throne room like is still there. Like even as a big fan, you know, I think that's kind of silly. But hearing Ian McDiarmid, hearing that voice again, hearing new dialogue, specifically when he says you're coming together, sends chills up my spine. I think I've seen this trailer like a dozen times now and it gets me absolutely every single time. And I think that is a smart play by the people who constructed this trailer, a smart play by Abrams to realize that you have this man, you have Ian McDiarmid, he's, you know, he's alive. Like we have lost people, lost actors, you know, that were in Star Wars before that are not around, you know, longer, you know, specifically Carrie Fisher, who's definitely eulogized, I think, in this trailer very well. Having him come back and having that presence, I think, was enough, which is why I don't like the last couple of shots in this trailer. I think the last shot of the Emperor is weird. A lot of people are like, he's in a floating chair. I think he's in a mech. I think he's literally going to walk out like RoboCop style. But I think it's too much. I think we knew the Emperor was going to be in it when we saw that first trailer. I think we hear him now say new dialogue we've never heard before and not just laugh. And, you know, that's a huge deal. I think that's enough. I don't think we need, you know, I think we know that, you know, Rey is probably going to at least encounter him or talk to him. Yeah, I thought that was a bit much. But there's a lot of other details in this that we obviously need to get to. That was just kind of like my feelings on what I think are like the four main characters that are speaking throughout this. I think Kylo actually doesn't get a lot of screen time in this, which is interesting. You know, I wonder if they intentionally tried to play up his character in some of the earlier trailers because he replies to Rey and then shows up at the end and that's it. And again, you just you think of spoilers, you think of kind of what we know about the story, you know, from following this whole campaign that they've released. Like, We know that Luke, I mean, I assumed that Luke was going to come back as a ghost and speak to Rey. We kind of know that's going to happen, or Rey will have some sort of dream sequence that Luke will be a part of. It's obvious, I think, to me that there's some sort of lots of dream sequences stuff we're seeing here after that was played up during episode 8, where we saw this connection between Kylo and Rey. Rey having dream sequences when she goes to the bottom of the island. Rey having kind of a dream sequence, hearing voices when she gets the lightsaber in episode 7. So, like, Rey has definitely been exposed to all sorts of, you know, feedback from, you know, all over the place in terms of, like, hearing voices and seeing images. And so her and Kylo, like, striking down this weird statue of Darth Vader is interesting, but doesn't, you know, have like a huge impact because it's, I think it's a dream sequence. But, and one of the other things that I think I'm actually being more critical about this, once we go through it again, I want to talk about all the things that I dearly love. But I think kind of all roads in this trailer, even though it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on, I think all roads point to Palpatine. I think all roads point to everybody showing up and just like he was the Phantom Menace, you know, in the first Star Wars film. He is responsible for all these people getting together. He is potentially responsible for the conflict. That seems like what they're selling. And so if they're selling that, then, you know, even though we are being pulled in all sorts of different, you know, directions, we see Rose again, you know, standing in front of a new actor to join the series. So like there's a lot of new elements that are brought to this. But I think ultimately all of the conflict, all of that stuff kind of builds to a moment that I'm surprised they showed, kind of given that, you know, where we can see this story potentially going. But I think this trailer is structured beautifully. I think it starts out with a really nice pace. We start out with sounds of a forest. We see Rey training. I think we see a flashback maybe to her back on Jakku. I don't know if that is stuff that they shot for episode 7. I don't know if that was in episode 7. Apologies if it was. But we see Finn, you know, we see a lot of quiet moments. We see, you know, all of the resistance gathering and we see them in distress. We see them planning and, you know, there's lots of aliens. You can see Lando from a distance. Like there's a lot of stuff to look at, a lot of calmness. And then, you know, we build up to this fight with the waves crashing around Rey and Kylo, which we've seen a lot of, but I think they do a good job of showing the close up here. And that's, I think that I really dig that reveal of Kylo. There's just a lot of new elements visually after this that I really enjoy. You know, ice is something that I think, you know, after like the salt flats of 8, I think is an interesting visual aesthetic. It certainly looks extremely cold where they are, you know, driving their little skiffs around on the waves and fighting Kylo. And so, you know, I kind of like the loneliness of the beginning of this trailer. And then the absolute gut punch is C-3PO. You know, some people have claimed that, you know, they're turning him off. There's like C-3PO with the red eyes that we've seen, you know, in earlier imagery from this movie. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they do with 3PO. Some people are frustrated. They're like, we're going to have to say goodbye to him too. Why does that character have to die in every movie? They might just be turning C-3PO off. They've done it before. That moment absolutely got me because one thing that's really special about this movie is, yes, Carrie, you know, performances that she did previously before her passing will make it into this movie. I wonder if they got a voice match potentially to maybe do some additional dialogue for her. But you have Carrie Fisher, you have Mark Hamill, you have Ian McDiarmid, you have all of these actors, and you have Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO. You have all these actors coming back. Unfortunately, Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca, you know, passed as well. But these four actors, I think, are featured so wonderfully in this trailer. And I think that's why it not only resonates for me, because it's just like, yay, fan service, yay, characters that I know. Lando as well, of course. You know, Lando was not in the first Star Wars film and was not in the prequels. But Ian McDiarmid has been in nearly all of these films, especially if you go back, you know, to the special edition version of Empire Strikes Back. Anthony Daniels has been there the entire time. And so I realize it's kind of a cheesy moment to have Anthony Daniels say he's saying goodbye to his friends. But knowing he's been here the entire time, that he's been such a positive force in the I just said force. I didn't even attempt to do that. That he's just been a positive voice, a positive face, you know, kind of a welcoming presence in the Star Wars community over the years at conventions and all these trailers. He had such a fun time talking about, you know, Star Wars and social media. And so this is the last trailer we're going to get for any Star Wars movie that he is likely going to be in, certainly live action, maybe, that he's going to supply his voice for. Him just having that moment really got to me. And I think, you know, just talking about fan service before we wrap things up, I think there's just, you know, a ton of it obviously in this. A lot of people are, you know, talking about getting Return of the Jedi vibes. You even get the ship whose name escapes me right now, but the ship from the beginning of episode 4 that Princess Leia is escaping the Star Destroyer in, as I mentioned, references to even like concept art that was done in the original trilogy. This is definitely going to be a celebration of Star Wars. This is going to be a celebration of episodes 1 through 9. If you are tuning in to get another Last Jedi, where you want, you know, some kind of crazy subversive, like, this is not going to be that, you know, this is going to be Luke Skywalker as a ghost, you know, having ghost fights with, you know, all of his enemies from Pat, like, Qui-Gon Jinn's going to be in this, like, there's going to be so many things that they're throwing out at audiences, and why not, because it's, you know, it's like Avengers Endgame, it's the end of all of this stuff, and I definitely get the end of all of this stuff vibe from this trailer, so... but I do have those problems. I do think it ends weird. I love, you know, hearing Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher together. Obviously, that hits me squarely in the feels very, very, very powerfully. But the shot, I think, is weird, especially after seeing Rey nervously facing off against Emperor Palpatine to then see her with the lightsaber kind of happy. You know, just the end of this trailer is very happy. And I like that it's a celebration of all things Star Wars, but it also kind of sucks the drama out of, oh no, what's going to happen? Especially after the second trailer of the three in this campaign showed Rey with, like, crazy Sith double-edged. Again, I think another dream sequence. Like, who knows? But I think for the sake of putting a grin on everybody's face, this trailer sacrifices a bit of oomph, a bit of gravitas. Maybe not gravitas. It definitely has a lot of depth, but... it just made me happy, and I want to be a little scared about the plot. I want to be a little scared for Kylo, a little scared of the Emperor, a little scared of the evil that could come back, and not just like, eh, we're all gonna have a good time. That's how I feel. So that's why I'm wrapping it up with a 9. That is my score. You know, of course, Daniel Bloodworth, it'd be great if he was here to knock that down. All of the allies are busy reviewing games right now or on Media Blackout. So thanks to all of you for listening to me ramble about Star Wars. And as soon as I possibly can, I will give you another episode of Trailer Jones.